Blog Talk Radio.
And as the song says, we are all warriors. We will never dismount. We ride a tiger. This, we take no quarter. This is our land, and we will never, ever, ever surrender.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Defence League Heavy Metal Radio Show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com, the English Defence League Radio Show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Tonight we have an action pack, but before I start the script, once again I've got to thank Dave for the awesome slides. And, of course, the script for this evening as well. So, once again, Dave, cheers, buddy. But anyway, English Defence League radio show, Mo's Day? No way! There you go. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show, Heavy Metal Edition, with your host, Jeff. Spider Mitchell and my panellists this evening will be, with better luck, we might have Jan the Tornado. We probably might be joining us around about 9 o'clock GM or British summertime, should I say. We look forward to that. And Dave Agador and Milner. So tonight we have an action-packed show. We will be discussing EDL-related issues, such as this Saturday in France, where the Yellow Vests will attempt to bring France to a standstill. As you know, in the UK, a D-notice will be enforced. A D-notice, ladies and gentlemen, means that they will basically not broadcast anything that's going on in France, even if that includes people being hurt or even killed. Okay, so they've shut it down. They've put a D-notice up there. And so that'll be enforced. So don't expect that mainstream MSN covering the day of action. But we patriots do not need state-run media. We have our own citizen journalists on the ground. Danny Tomo of TR News will be streaming this live. Also, RT is always a great source for info. Other topics of interest from around the globe will be covered as time permits. Foot soldiers, angels, Brexiteers, Yellow Vests and global patriots. This is your platform and your voice, so please call in. And if you want to call in, the number to call in is, if you're outside the United States, is 001-858-777-5934. There's a tune there, though. I'll repeat again. 001-858-777-5934. There you go, guys. And no surrender ever. And all that's necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. Edmund Burke. And those that prevent a peaceful revolution make violent revolution inevitable. And of course, that was the late, great President John F. Kennedy. And without further ado, I introduce you, the one, the only, the man with the stick, my dear friend, my colleague, Mr. Dave Agador Milner. Good evening, Dave. Welcome and good afternoon, buddy.
Good evening to you, Jeff, and good evening to everybody in the UK. Good evening to Jan, if you're listening. She might still be with us, or she might come with us.
Giving her away, Dave.
Good afternoon. Yeah, you go. Yeah, giving her away. And good afternoon to everybody in the States and everybody around the world and off Earth. Yeah, guys, we've got quite the show tonight. We've got several stories we want to cover. One that came up just a day or two ago, and we want to get into that one. And then we'll do a little bit of, Jeff and I are going to do a little bit of teaching. That's something that we do once in a while in here. And it is because we don't really, you guys get to hear Jeff and me talk about Islam and their ideology and all this other stuff a lot. Okay. But some of you may be thinking, well, all right, these guys are just, talking out their backside or whatnot. But tonight, I'm going to give you guys, and Jeff and I are both going to give you guys, a little bit of stuff out of the Quran, a little bit of stuff out of the Hadiths and the Sirahs, to back up exactly why Mohammedans do the things they do. And we'll do a few other things too, guys. Try and cover a few things, a range, Jeff, of stories that we've got here, some of which we've been holding back a few weeks. So, yeah, man, I'm ready for a good show. You ready for a good show?
Yes, I am, Dave. Did you like the build-up tonight?
Well, the man with the stick. You know, apparently you've been talking to a couple of my exes, but it was fine.
No, Dave. No,
yeah.
No.
Well, I was going to tell you that.
Like,
no, stay away from him. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
Dave, you always make me laugh. Guys, there's Dave. He's got these one-liners, and it always cracks me up. As I say, we've got a great show this evening, as we normally have. And we'll be talking about the cultists of death. We got plenty to talk about. Using the word Islam. It's like, you know, talking about Satan. As you know, when they say Allah... Allah is just Satan. It's Satan.
Oh, I know.
They pray. Yeah. They put their head on it. Look, guys, look how they pray and how they worship. If you are like myself, if you're like anybody who's got the true faith, you don't pray like that. You don't spread yourself on the ground with your arse in the air and your head in the ground. You raise your hands to the sky, and you talk to the Lord. You know, you worship the Lord. You don't do this. When they do that, they're just worshiping Satan, aren't they? You know, got to get to grips with what's really going on, haven't they? They really, really haven't.
Yeah,
and hopefully, ladies
true.
And gentlemen,
well,
we know you're pretty savvy people. We know that, but there's things that more things that maybe we can give you a little bit more info. If you're not too sure of anything we say about it, please check it out yourself. There's plenty of wealth of information out there. If you just look for it, they're decent the sewers, you can do it yourself. And, so just listen to what we say. You don't have to take anything as it is, but you can do your own digging, your own self satisfaction, that's what I'd say.
Type
an education, isn't it, mate?
Well, a lot of the people from the EDL are educated like that. And Jeff, before we get up into that, though, do want to say, if we can, guys, we're going to try and get you some, at least, a story about what's going to happen on Saturday, because the Yellow Vests are stepping it up. They want Macron out, and he should leave. He should be gone. His worldview was rejected by the people of France, and they're doing what I hope the producers, the people, the farmers, the miners, the ranchers, the factory workers here in the United States of America will do if they take away the Electoral College. The people of France are going to stop their country. You know, it's just down tools. And yeah, Macron, you try and run the place yourself, by yourself, and see what kind of luck you have with that, man. And I just want to say, to all the Yellow Vests there in France, bonne chance, and God bless you. You know what I'm saying?
Viva la France! Viva the Yellow Coats! Yellow Jackets, just like Viva for what you're doing, and Godspeed with you. And we know. We know what goes on. We have seen the graphic attacks by the John, what they call them, the thugs of theirs, attacking people, shooting people's arms off and eyes out and things like that. You're very brave and very courageous. If any of you, the resistance, are listening, we're very proud of what you're doing. It's showing the grit of the French people. God bless you. Godspeed with all that you do. And, hopefully you will prevail and you'll bring your country back to the way it should be for for your future generations, etc. We're all behind you.
Really,
Danny Domo, as you know, we have a D notice in this country. And I don't know if you've got the same thing over in the United States, but they stuck a D notice that prevents the mainstream media. Basically, it's a big, don't you dare show anything what's going on.
Oh, yeah, but it's a big blanket of silence. Yeah.
Exactly.
Go ahead,
unfortunately,
Jeff.
For them, we've got other sources, and we have got great people. It's like Danny Tomo. It won't be just Danny Tomo. Other citizen journalists will be on the ground as well. Sorry. And we've got other sources.
RT's
it's not
there,
just that
you know,
on Facebook. We've got Gab. We've got other sources that we can live feed transmissions to. So jog on with your D. You know what you do, D notice. You can stick it as far up your... anyway, Dave, before...
it's amazing, Jeff, that they would actually do that. You know, I mean, it really is trying to stick your finger in the dike when the whole thing's about to blow. They know that the people understand that what's going on in France, and you know it's one of the silliest moves I've ever seen anybody make. I mean, you want to talk about fascism? That's it. But yeah, as you say, Breitbart News will be there, and Summit News. I'm sure maybe even Rebel Media, as you say, TR.News with Danny Tomo, who's really good. I mean, so guys, we'll try and bring you something on Sunday. Sunday's kind of a special day. We're going to be making a little special celebration on Sunday for a certain lad that may get the key to the door. We don't know by that time. But yeah, Sunday's going to be a heck of a day. So tune in here. Tune in. Yeah, log in, and it's going to be a good day. But Jeff, I'm going to go ahead now. We're going to get up into our first topic, our main topic, and we're going to play this. This is from Ivy Yemeni. This came off on the 18th. All right, and this here is about 3 3/4 minutes long. So, with your permission, I'll go ahead and start this up.
Yeah, go ahead, please, Dave.
All right, brother. Okay, guys, you're listening to the English Defense League radio show. This is Ivy Yemeni.
Today it's been revealed that a 7-year-old Israeli girl was abducted from her Jewish school and raped in a house nearby by the school's Palestinian janitor. We often hear the claim that Israel is an apartheid state for the way they treat Palestinians. But nothing could be further from the truth or more offensive to victims of real apartheid. There are currently more than 2 million Christian and Muslim Arabs who live in Israel and enjoy equal rights to their Jewish peers, including my very own officer in the Israeli army. Palestinians living in the West Bank and Gaza vote for their own government, often terrorist groups like currently Hamas. They pay tax to their government and are ruled by Palestinians who regularly call for the genocide of their Jewish neighbours. But despite all that hatred, Palestinians have the right to apply for a work permit in Israel. And many Palestinians opt to work in Israel because Israel's minimum wage is about 10 times that of the Palestinian territory. And in Israel, they'll receive healthcare benefits and other entitlements just like the Jews. But the blind hatred Palestinians learn from childhood and harbour as adults towards Jews makes hiring Palestinians a risky choice for Israeli businesses. In this latest case, the Palestinian janitor took advantage of the Jewish school's generosity to perpetrate the most heinous of crimes. But this is not the first time a Palestinian has used rape as a form of Islamic terror. Just recently, this Jewish girl was raped and murdered by this Palestinian man, who admitted it was in an act of jihad. Those who deny that these depraved acts are acts of terror are either ignorant or lying. According to Islam, Muhammad was the perfect man. Muslims believe they have to emulate their prophet. Everything he did was good, and as a good Muslim, you must strive to be like him. Muhammad raped and murdered Jews in the name of jihad. This petrified 7-year-old was just Muhammad's latest victim. As we know, censorship is out of control. Thousands of conservative voices have already been shut down across all the major social media platforms, including even myself from Facebook. So before it's too late, before they ban me here as well and stop you from even being able to view my content for good, make sure to connect with me on every other platform. I'm not just talking about Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram, because let's be real, I'll be banished from all of them soon enough. I mean, also make sure to join and subscribe to my channels on Telegram, MeWe, Gab, and now even Parler. All the links you need are in the description. And if you support the work we do here at TR.News, please consider supporting us financially. We are a small but devoted news team without any of the significant funding the mainstream media enjoy to push their globalist fake news. We rely solely on your generosity and every single cent counts. So please go to tr.news/support to ensure we can continue to bring you the truth. And from the entire team here at tr.news, I want to thank you very much.
And there you go, guys. There you go.
Thank you, Abby. As usual, I heard that story, and it just chills you to the bone, doesn't it, Dave, when you hear these stories of a little girl, you know, and he admitted he'd done it because it's what he's expected to do, being a Muslim.
Yeah.
I think it really speaks volumes of the whole of this cult of theirs, because that's what it is. I refuse to call it anything else. It masquerades. It gets attention because it masquerades as a religion, and it gets all the special treatment simply because
gets
of
all
that,
the protections.
Because it's classed itself. It's got nothing to do with religion, but it's just an excuse for them to propagate this death cult, this evil satanic death cult that it's not done anything good for the world whatsoever. However long this has survived, how long it's been there, 1,450 years, whatever it might be, it's never done humanity any good. What has it done? Well, all you see is death and destruction, squalor. Wherever they propagate, you see it. A lovely area, I've seen it in London, I've seen it all over, and I've seen the way a beautiful town, a beautiful city is transformed into something like a 7th century shithole. I'm going to use the graphic language because that's what they turn it into. They live like they want to live in this 6th century shithole that they've always lived. You know, we want to shoot for the stars. People like Dave and me people out there, idealistic type of people. We think of the future. We think, you know, one day, right, I'll see it in my lifetime, but in other people's generations, they're going to see spaceships flying to the stars. I mean, and I heard the other day with your great president, President Trump, saying we're going to Mars. He said that the other day, and I thought, God, he really does mean it. And, you know,
I think he does.
I'd be the happiest man alive. Well, one of them, because I know there's millions of us who feel the same way. But these people
would
don't
be awesome,
see
man.
It.
No, of course they don't, Jeff.
Cultists don't want to see anything like that. They want to take away that. They want to take all away the things that you enjoy. You know, things that we like, recreation, going watching football, things like that. They want to ban all that and use the stadiums. I don't know, maybe locking people's head up. I don't know, using the top of the stadium, throw through Gaza. I mean, that's where it all comes down. That's what Sharia law is, or Sharia. Let's not call it Sharia law. It's Sharia.
Yeah, there you go. Sharia.
That is what they will enforce if they get their way.
Right.
And we don't fight back. Because there's a lot of horrible, disgusting cowards who's just, anything for a quiet life. Oh, they'll be all right. We won't say nothing. We only upset them if we do. This is the attitude. Talk about apathy, Dave. These people make me sick, the ones who, but they're doing it on purpose, aren't they? It's all about the New World Order, Dave.
The rulers are definitely doing it on purpose. And, you know, sadly, you know, so many of the serfs, you know, don't have the information, or if you offer them the information, they hide their heads in the sand. I mean, Jeff, you, one of the things you did talk about was, you know, we're shooting for the stars. You know, think about this, people. You know, today is the 20th of June. In 1 month, it will be 50 years since mankind landed on the moon. And you know, we're gonna have a bit of a celebration on EDL Radio on Thursday, the 18th of July. Yes, you know, but you know, the Mohammedans don't, you know, that, well, okay, put this this way. They put a fatwa on Mars. They say that it's, you know, that no Mohammedan can go to Mars. This is how insane it is. And as Jeff points out, and it's getting this way in the United States, brothers and sisters. And that's kind of part of the reason why I'm here, to try and warn you guys ahead of time. You know, if you look at pictures, at real pictures of some of these neighborhoods in Paris, and as Jeff says, London now. You know, all of these, I'm sure that Birmingham is getting to be the same way. You know, Oldham has a Muslim neighbor right now, Oldham has a Muslim mayor right now. And I'm sure that you know, the enclaves, because this is happening in the States too, guys. The Muslims try and carve out these enclaves for themselves. And then you immediately think, you know, my God, they might as well not even run electricity in here, because as BZ puts it, from BZ's Berserk Bobcat Saloon, which you're going to hear about here in a moment. BZ says they want everything to look like downtown Mogadishu, and they do. You know, and that is part of the problem. That's part of the problem, man. And we're going to talk about some of that stuff, guys, when we come back. Okay, but for right now, Jeff, with your permission, it's about the top of the hour. I'll go ahead and run the SHR Media promos, and then we'll come back and read you guys some stuff from the so-called holy writings of Islam, and we'll get into it, and some of it's going to sound pretty familiar to you. So, you know, don't just take our word for it. You're going to hear it from, you know, the goat's mouth or whatever. So, Jeff, with your permission, I'll go ahead and run these promos, all right?
Thank you, Ty.
All right, guys. Okay, we're going to run these promos. These are about 3.5 minutes long. The English Defense League radio show is now associated with the SHR Media Network. And these are some of the great shows that you guys can hear over there. So we're going to start this off now. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show, guys.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
Hey, this is Michael Wright.
And I'm Shannon Wright.
Join us for The Right Way with Shannon and Mike, Monday through Thursday from 7 to 9 a.m. right here on SHR Media.
Why are they joining us?
For fun things like sports, politics.
Oh, maybe some news and entertainment?
And all kinds of other things.
Money and recipes and events, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so join us Monday through Thursday, 7 to 9 a.m. here on SHRmedia.com.
From a public locker inside a dilapidated Long Island rail station comes a show designed to piss off liberals using truth, facts, and ridicule. The Lid Radio Show, featuring the conservative voice from the People's Republic of New York, the Lid himself, Jeff Dunnett. Tune in every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the SHR Media Network. Go to shrmedia.com and Lid Radio. We fight for the truth, justice, and a good kosher T-bone. If you don't listen, Hillary Clinton might sneak into your bedroom in her house coat late at night and blame you for her election loss. It's the Lid Radio Show with Jeff Dunnett.
It's your business diva here, Melanie Collette. I am inviting you to a front row seat as I discuss some of the most intriguing details of wealth and finance with today's movers and shakers in the world of business. Listen in and discover financial truth on a global, domestic, and household scale. Uncover topics that will impact your wallet today and in the future. Money Talk with Melanie airs Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. East, 2 p.m. West, right here on SHR Media and High Plains Pundit Talk Radio. You can't afford to miss it.
Thank you. show on the SHR Media Network, Sackheads Against Tyranny. On shrmedia.com, go there quick like a bunny, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, every Wednesday, live and direct on the SHR Media Network, shrmedia.com. Be there.
Broadcasting behind enemy lines in occupied California, a mere 2 miles from the state capital, the Bloviating Zeppelin's Berserk Bobcat Saloon Radio Show can be heard every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific and 11 p.m. Eastern, only on the SHR Media Network. Go to shrmedia.com to listen. You can also watch on the SHR Media Facebook page and the SHR Media YouTube channel. No goldfish were abused in the making of this ad. Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
Hey, well, there you go. We are the radio show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome back. Okay. Now, guys. Sorry, Jeff. Go ahead, man. I'm stepping on you.
No. I was wanting to. I just got back in my chair, actually.
Nice. All right. Well, welcome back, everybody, to the English Defense League radio show with your host, Jeff, heavy metal Spider Mitchell. and I'm Dave, heavy metal Milner. Yeah. Yeah, we got,
we got the
leather and chains on and everything. Yeah. Because we both like a bit of rock and roll.
Look, Dave, you could do it if you like in your personal life, brother.
Hey, if it's metal, I believe it's good, live and let live,
ladies and gentlemen.
Well, so do I. It's just too bad that the people we're going to talk about don't believe in it. Now, we're going to do this. Now, this guy's comes. This is a great resource. I keep touting them as a resource, and they're a great resource. I'm talking about the religionofpeace.com. You can find things in there about Islam, all sorts of stuff about Islam, and it's a great learning tool that I like to use. They've got. Let me just read you these subheads, these topics that they have: human rights, women's rights, moral issues, Sharia. That's it says Islamic law, but it's the Islamic system, just as Jeff says. The myths of Islam, the games that Muslims play, and Muslim opinion polls. Yeah. And they compare Islam to Christianity, 10 reasons why Islam is not a religion of peace, and, here you go, Jeff, Islamophobia. And we've done a lot of shows, and we've taken bits out of this, because they get into this and they drill down into Islam, into the writings, as Avi Yemeni said, that the Mohammedans live by. Okay, this is stuff out of the Quran. It's stuff out of the life of Muhammad, their prophet, and it's stuff that Muhammad claims he was told by an angel. In a cave or something like that. Over a shortwave radio or something. I don't know. Whatever he pulled out of his rear end. Anyway, okay, guys. Now this particular one we're going to talk about today is torture. All right. What does Islam teach about torture? Now, and Jeff and I have little pre-show meetings, guys, and we had one yesterday. We were talking about this stuff, and one of the things he said just came right out of one of these things. So, folks, this is the real stuff. This isn't just us talking about this here. Okay. Now, torture is sanctioned in Islam when there is a reason for it. Okay, and their reasons for doing it are pretty wide, okay? Now, the first one we're going to read out of here, okay, is from the Quran, the Quran 5:33. And the punishment for those who wage war against Allah and his messenger, strive to make mischief in the strive to make mischief in the land. In other words, people who tell the truth about Islam or give Islam a problem. Okay, I'm gonna continue. Is only this, that they should be murdered or crucified, or their hands and their feet should be cut off on opposite sides. Now, that's the start, guys. Here's another golden oldie from the Quran. Quran 8:21. Remember, thy Lord inspired the angels with the message, I am with you. Give firmness to the believers. I will instill terror into the hearts of the unbelievers. Smite ye above their necks, and now this is important, guys. Smite all their fingertips off them. Smite all their fingertips off them. Now I'm going to pause for a second, Jeff, because you remember, brother, a few years ago, this was in Nairobi in a mall. I believe this is where this was. The Mohammedans there took a bunch of hostages, and because one of them, the ones that did not know Muhammad's mother's name or some crap like that, they cut off their fingertips. Because this is what they do when they take hostages. A lot of times is they'll torture.
That's
them.
How they're instructed to do their
right.
Warfare torture, isn't it, Dave?
Mm-hmm.
Carry on, please.
Yeah. Sure. Well, no. I just wanted to give you a chance to respond there a little bit. And you're right. You're right. And we just read that. We just read that, guys. Okay. Now, here's another one out of the Quran.
It's in their horrible book and their deeds and the sewers, etc. Ladies and gentlemen. So
yeah.
What we're reading, what you're hearing, is actually coming from that horrible, despicable book that we talk about. I'm sorry, Dave.
Yeah,
I didn't take you too much.
No, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. People need to be reminded. Okay, this is out of the Quran, 48:29. Let's see. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those with him are hard against the disbelievers and merciful among themselves. And that kind of works if you're in that particular flavor of Islam. But if you're not, and they consider you an apostate, then you get messed up. Now here's another one. Now this one goes to a statement, Jeff, that you made to me yesterday, talking about how compassion is pretty much beaten out of Mohammedans from a young age. All right,
yep.
And a lot of folks may not believe that. A lot of folks may not believe that. They may think, that's not true. You're just being a hater. Okay, here it is, guys. Quran 24.
They're being the haters. It's
2.
Not us, is it? They're being the haters. The way that they. Sorry, Dad.
Yeah. Quran 24, verse 2. The women and the men guilty of adultery or fornication flog each of them with 100 strokes. That means whipping them, guys. And now this is the important thing. Let not compassion move you. Not only is physical torture prescribed as punishment for moral crime between consenting adults, but believers are told to suppress their natural urge for human compassion. And this gets, guys, I want to just say, into the animal. You know, you see this why these young Mohammedans are allowed to torture dogs and cats to death. And you can find that stuff on YouTube. Jeff and I we can't watch it anymore. It's just horrific. They do that to donkeys and things of that nature. But that's why. So that they can teach them not to be compassionate, because if you can torture an animal to death, then you can torture a human being to death, and it's quite okay. Now I'm going to read down here a little bit more, guys, because this again is important. Now this is here we go. Let's see how Allah feels about non-Muslims naturally determines the attitude of devout Muslims. In the Quran, Muhammad explicitly uses Allah's hatred of unbelievers to motivate his people to jihad. Okay? Now, guys, remember, it is the devout Mohammedans that usually will wind up taking over an area. Even if you have peaceful Mohammedans, and there are peaceful Mohammedans out there, even if you have peaceful Mohammedans in an area, sooner or later, and this happens everywhere they go, sooner or later, the radicals will come in and take over. And that's the ones we're talking about here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. This here is from the Quran, verse 9, or excuse me, it's the Quran 9, verse 73. O Prophet, strive against the disbelievers and the hypocrites. Be harsh with them. Their ultimate abode is hell, a hopeless journey's end. It just that just points up the general attitude of the Mohammedans towards people who don't believe the same stuff they do. Don't you? Now let's go to the Hadith and the Sirahs, okay? And I'm going to come down. I'm going to find some short ones here. I'm going to read the really long ones here. We'll find some short ones here to read and maybe comment on a little bit. The Sahih Muslim 17:41-96. A married man confesses that he has adultery four times as required, and Muhammad orders him planted in the ground and pelted with stones. According to the passage, the first several stones caused such pain that he tried to escape and was dragged back. Okay, let's see. Now here's another one from the Sahih Bukhari 11:626. The Prophet said, "No prayer is harder for the hypocrites than the fair and the Isho prayers, and if they knew the reward for these prayers at their respective times, they would certainly present themselves in the mosques, even if they had to crawl." See, this is Muhammad wanting people to go to the mosque. All right. The Prophet added, I decided to order I'm going to try and say this, guys. The Muad'Dim, that's the call maker. That's the guy who stands up in the minaret and goes, and all that mess five times a day. Okay. To pronounce Igana and order a man to lead the prayer and then take a fire flame to burn all those who had not left their houses so far for the prayer along with the houses. So as far as Muhammad is concerned, if you don't go to the mosque, well, you know, you get your house burned down. That's a nice one, isn't it? Yeah. Here's another one. This is from the Ibn Ishaq 734. When Muhammad's favorite wife, Aisha, who was 6 years old when he married her and 9 years old when he had sex with her, was accused of adultery, he launched an investigation that included the brutal interrogation of a female slave. So the apostle called Buraya, or excuse me, guys, I'm going to try this one more time. Burayaya, all right, to ask her, and Ali got up.
Yeah, tonight, Dave, by the sounds of it. Yeah, tell
me about it. Yeah, and Ali got up and gave her a violent beating, saying, "Tell the apostle the truth." Okay, so this wasn't just that a slave was being questioned. And by the way, there's still slavery in Islamic countries just for that. But she was beaten. Okay. let's read down a little bit more, guys. We're going to stop here for just a second. Jeff, so far, what are your feelings listening to all this stuff about torture?
I think the thing that they, if you, in a war scenario, if you capture, say, an Islamist or anything like that, they're given human rights, Geneva Protection of Geneva Convention. In the eyes of Islam, they don't believe. They'll call for it if they're captured. But in their world, if we're captured, that does not apply to the kuffar, the infidel. You know, they're totally, without any sort of compassion whatsoever. They don't believe in it. It's a sign of weakness for them if they did anything other than that. And that's what their Quran teaches them, to be non-compassionate towards the infidel or whoever it is you've captured. And that's why they don't talk. They talk about how... See, it shows you. They talk about how to torture people, what to go about, mm-hmm. to cut people's fingers off and behead them and to crucify them. I mean, it's quite obvious. This is a handbook how to kill people in the most horrific way. I mean, I don't actually go into burning people in cages exactly, but they use every form that makes the human look at this and think, oh my God, are these humans? No, they're not. They're beyond that. They've lost that capacity to call themselves human. If you look at something, it's like the gates of hell with these people. That's what they're like. How do we call them people, Dave? They're beyond the word people, human being. I've just got to let you know, Dave. I just wanted to...
Go ahead.
In case the script goes up, the chat goes up. We've got Vorpal Bites joining us. He said hello to the room, Dave, so I just wanted to give you a heads up.
Hey, Vorp, hello and welcome. And welcome. You know, everyone, please, if you want to come into SHR Media. If you want to come into blogtalkradio.com and search for the English Defense League radio show, you just put EDL Radio up in the white bar that's up there at the top center, and you'll eventually find the show, and you can get in there and get in the chat room and you know, you can engage in some interesting chat, guys. Yeah,
we
welcome for. And
Go ahead. Continue with the first little bit of. Thing that he said, I do not care if you feel they are peaceful. This is the Muslims he talk about. I disagree. I say all Muslims are dangerous, for even your peaceful ones contribute to the jihadis. Makes every single Muslim guilty. And actually, I agreed with his statement. And I said, I agree with you, all right. And he says, where are the dissenters? They don't even have people talking down the violence. And I just said, you tell me, Vorbabai. It always makes some good points. Vorbabai, he's normally bang on, isn't he?
Yeah.
Things he said, I've got to admit. controversial because I see what Vorp's talking about, and I agree, and I know... You know, there's good and bad that these people contribute. And the ones that don't say anything when things are going on, they're just as bad. And we know they are. There's not, when I talk this moderate Islam, there's
there.
No such thing as moderate Islam, is there, Dave? But me and Dave's often talking there's nothing, it's just Islam.
Okay, I don't disagree there, Jeff. You know, I mean, I will say though that there are some Muslims that you know, they're kind of minos, as someone who used to be associated with the show used to call them. You know, they're Muslims in name only. They might go to the mosque and all that stuff, but they don't. You know, they're not into all this Allahu Akbar stuff. Trouble is, though, when the radicals and the ones, as you said, who keep their mouths shut do show up. You know, they wind up getting inundated, and it's, you know, you're going to go after the kafir or, you know, we're going to come in and do horrible stuff to your family right in front of you, like rape your wife and your daughters and beat up your son right in front of you. And if you don't get the message, we'll come back tomorrow night and do it, you know. So, I mean, at that point, Jeff, you know, if you're a man with a family and you love your family, you're really stuck between a rock and a hard place. And that's why, you know, in every place where these Mohammedans settle in, eventually, it's you know, the few the few Minos that there are do pretty much disappear because they have to. Now, and one of the
points... Well, yeah, I mean, something that you said there, Dave, that makes me think... I heard someone talking the other day that Muslims are leaving in droves. We don't hear these stories too much. It's something they suppress. But this is what I've been hearing quite on a regular basis now, that they're leaving in droves. They're moving away from this cult of death. They know they've perked. I don't know, you know, maybe people talk to them, say, if you studied, check it out. You're not really... And maybe some of them, they've had their eyes open to what it's really about. And maybe that's why we're seeing such a flight from this cult of death. Maybe you've got to make a life change. You've got to do something. You've got to change your name. You've got to maybe move to one side of the country to the other and keep a low profile. But if you don't want to believe in this cult of death, and... As we all know, anybody that studies that horrible, disgusting book of theirs, it says there, Dave, I will say this, but it says no Muslim will pass over the hellfires. No Muslim. Do you understand that out there, all you lefties and all you Muslims that follow this death cult, that you're not going anywhere? What if you think you're going to go straight up out of the hotel... That you would that Latman is if you become a so-called martyr, if you believe in that. But that is it. None of you will pass over the hellfires because it said so in your book. You know,
right.
It says
yeah.
So. What's the matter with these people, Dave? Don't they understand that they're doomed, whatever they bloody do?
Well, part of it is, you know, where they live. But also, before I read the other another thing here. I'll just say to Vorp's point about keeping quiet when the violence goes on. I proved that in that conservative bite that we still have in studio, and once in a while I play it. I proved it. I proved it with the numbers. I mean, when you have demonstrations against violence that are supposed to involve Muslims, you don't get very many of them showing up. But boy, if you draw a picture of Muhammad. You get thousands of them coming out of the woodwork and showing up for that. But guys, Jeff, listeners, I'm going to read one more. Now, this one plumbs the depths. I have to say this, Jeff. This one is, you were talking about how the Quran can be a manual for torture. All right. Well, check this one out, brother. And audience, check this one out. This is from the Sahih Bukhari 52:261. Muhammad had their hands and feet cut off. Then he ordered four nails, which were heated and passed over their eyes, and they were left in the Hara. That's a rocky land near Medina. They asked for water, and nobody provided them with water till they died. Muhammad had two killers put to death, not in the way of an eye for an eye, but in a more agonizing manner. See also the Sahih Bukhari 4:234 and the Sahih Muslim 16:41-31. They were caught and brought to him. I'm not going to say that bit. And he commanded about them, and thus hands and feet were cut off, and their eyes were gouged, and then they were thrown in the sun until they died. So there you go, Jeff. How do you like that little nibble?
Well, it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't shock me, because we know how depraved and how barbaric they are. And there's other stories, Dave, of the way they torture people. You know, the thing, burying people, whole families alive, villages alive, and being thrown into a ground and then covered over. You know, this is often you know, some of the brutality that went on in Syria. We know exactly, you know, those that guy, or two of them, that was had chains around them, soldiers, and they poured petrol over them and set them alight. I mean, man, you know, the inhumanity there speaks volumes. And the guy in the cage that time, shows you. But I think Vorpal Bites in a confrontational mood this evening. I hope you don't mind if I just want to, because I don't want to think I'm ignoring him, because I'm not like that. And he is a friend of the show. So he says, I totally disagree again from what we were saying earlier. The older generation of Muslims are willing to defeat the infidels by outbreeding them. But the younger generations have embraced the violence and their numbers are growing. So I don't know if we're in total disagreement, you know, with you. I don't totally disagree with what you're saying there, Paul, but yeah, I mean, you make a lot of sense of what you said, but I don't want to debate you over it, because I quite agree with a lot of things you've said there. I don't know if Dave wants to agree with you or disagree, but Dave, your thoughts with what Vorpal Bites are saying this evening.
Well, you know, look, we're constantly berated here because they say of us that we don't acknowledge that there are Muslims that don't go in for all the violence and everything. And you know, whatever Vorp says, there really are Muslims like that. You know, we're talking about the Ahmadis, the Alawites, people of that nature. Okay. You know, and the thing is, though, that they are of such perishingly small amounts in the grander scheme, the grander population of Mohammedans, that it is pretty small, but it is there. So not only do I, at least as an individual, acknowledge that they're there, but I also say why it is that eventually they wind up having to go along with the very people Vorpal Bite is talking about. And I agree with the bits he's talking about concerning the older Mohammedans wanting to outbreed everybody and the younger ones embracing the violence. We see this in pretty much every generation. So I do that, Vorp, yeah, and listeners.
I hope you don't mind. Can I continue for what he follows
ahead,
on
man.
With? Do you mind, Dave? And then... you know,
let me just say this real quick. Okay, the only reason that I say that though is to counter the lefties that are going to listen to this show and say that crap that they're going to say. So I'm acing that out ahead of time. So please go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, no, sorry, Dave. No, I agree with you that we have got them out there ready to. Jump all over us. I don't give a shit myself personally. But he also goes on to say, accept the truth. Well, he says, there can never be peaceful coexistence with Islam. So, I mean, it's not accept the truth. I think
never
me and Dave is already accepted. That is the fact anyway, Vorpal Bite. He says, sorry, dude, I don't debate, I pass judgment. He also goes on to say, and those Muslims that don't go in for violence still support the terrorists. They will send their religious teeth to Saudi Arabia HQ of all Islamic terrorism. He goes on to say, then they are all still guilty of violence, even if on the surface it appears they are non-violent. And I can't really disagree with some of these sentiments there, Dave. I mean, you know, he's pretty spot on, isn't he? But I can understand that, you know, there is can be a bit of a conflict with some other people that might be listening, but it's just too bad. We talk
about
issues.
Well, that's the way I feel, though. Yeah. Yeah, that's how I feel too, brother. That's how I feel too.
Yeah.
I honestly don't care if someone doesn't like me for what I say and all that kind of thing. And
yeah.
No, I don't debate either. You know, but I do I do acknowledge that there are a few, a very small few, that do everything they can not to to do that. And you know, you can't, well, I can't go on and talk about this stuff without including mention of them. You know, again, it's an extremely small minority among the Mohammedans, and most of them will do exactly what Vorp is saying. They'll give their money to the mosque or whatever, or whatever Muslim Brotherhoodish or other Islamic organization, and we know that all eventually winds up in either in direct funding direct terrorism or migration or something else. Okay, but you know, I'm not going to I'm not going to get all bent out of shape about one or two small percentages of the population. I'd say maybe about 10%. The nonviolent. I'm not going to get into a big hairy debate about it. I'm just going to say yes, the lefties, they do exist, but there's a reason why they never prosper, and why the other ones take over. Now, Jeff, I want to read read a little bit more here before we close out this bit of conversation. It's been fairly good, man. Okay, this is Abu Dawood, 494. In addition to the right of men to beat their wives over disobedience, hey, if you're a Muslim, you get to beat your wife. It says so right there in the Hadith in the Sirahs. Okay, are to be, children are to be beaten as well. See, so you can beat your kids too. Isn't that great?
The madrasas doing it, Dave. Openly swinging children about and smacking them around their heads, and they're supposed to be the so-called teachers. My goodness me!
Talk about beat
the hell out of them. Right. That's what they do. We've seen it, Dave. They can't deny it because we've seen it so many times. You know they
right.
are.
Well,
they're total brutal, evil, sadistic.
No.
Bitches. Sorry for the bitches, but well, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah, but I'm going to continue to read this because this is why we're doing this, because we want this right out of the holy writings here, Jeff. Okay, now in this particular part of the Abu Dawood 494, it says children are to be beaten as well if they don't pray. The prophet said, command a boy to pray when he reaches the ages of 7 years. When he becomes 10 years old, then beat him for prayer. Incidentally, this is still taught. And just as you said, Jeff, that still goes on in the madrasas. They still beat these poor kids if they set a foot wrong. And so there you go, guys. There it is, right out of the Quran, right out of the Hadith and the Sirahs. This is Islam, and devout Muslims will get into this. Devout Muslims believe it.
So-called religion of peace, they call it, don't they, Dave? The religion of peace. There you go. All the brutality you can possibly muster. And you can even make some of the torture stuff up yourselves. And this is what a lot of them do, don't they? You know, we have of children, who's been groomed, who's had nails banged through their tongues on the table. We've seen.
Oh, yeah.
We've
heard about that for
about
sure.
Young girls being branded with M on their backsides to show that they belong to Muhammad, their prophet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen these things. And they try to still tell us that this is a so-called, I'm going to throw up when I say it, religion of peace. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to myself and Dave, and you've been sitting here in the comments what Vorpabai's been saying. What about this, I call it a death cult. What about this cult is peaceful? If anybody would like to ring in, we got a number. You could call in, and you maybe want to object to some of the things we've been talking about. I hope so. Mm-hmm. I hope there's someone with a pair of balls out there will come on here, call into the show, and debate with us. Show and tell us what's good about your death cult. Speak about it instead of hiding in the background or your leftist mates hiding in the background. Come and talk to us about it. Tell us. We want to debate with you. You know, just
well,
don't
you
sit
debate,
there
but, you
and
know,
have
I'm,
a
moan like
about what we're saying. If you don't like what we're saying, come on here and debate us. Rebuttal us. There you go. I've thrown it out once again. How many times have I done this, say? Why don't they
well,
take
doing,
why don't
lot,
they call
Jeff.
In? You know.
Well, I don't know, Jeff, you know, but
it's the same old story.
Yeah.
They just don't want to. They just don't want to admit it because they know that we start talking and we rebut what they say, and they can't. They will start to abuse our parents. They call our parents names. We've seen. I've seen it so many times. But Dave, I'm sorry if I took if I just want to say that.
Yeah. Well, we've got. We'll probably have time to do this story. One more story. You know. And this is an interesting one. Now. We really can't say that this is, you know, can be laid to the feet of the Mohammedans, but one suspects so, and for good reasons. Now this one here, we've had this one for a while. This was updated on the 8th of June. So yeah, we have had it for a while. And this one here is, you'll see a picture of a Sainsbury's in the slides there, guys. A blind British Paralympic skiing champion is left shaken and humiliated after Sainsbury's staff banned him from taking his guide dog into a supermarket. And once I read a bit of this story, Jeff, you know, this is a subject with which I have a lot of familiarity, being the unpleasant blind guy, you know. So we'll have just a teeny bit to say about this, brother. Now, okay, let me just get up into this here. These are the subheads, all right. And by the way, if you want to go looking for this, this is by Darren Boyle for the Mail Online. Now, let me get into the subheads here. Okay, John Dickinson, Lily. Yeah, Lily. I'm saying Lily. His name is spelled Lilley. Okay. Was stopped with his guide dog from the London store. Mr. Dickinson Lily was assisted by Brett when he went to the shop to buy wine. he said it was the second time he was stopped at Sainsbury's with his guide dog. Mr. Dickinson Lilly said he was considering taking the supermarket to court, as he should. Okay, now here we go, guys. A British Paralympic skiing champion has been left shaken and humiliated after he was banned from taking his guide dog into a Sainsbury's store minutes from the supermarket chain's head office. All right. John Dickinson Lilly, who is registered blind, didn't know you had to register to be blind in the UK. That's interesting. And uses his guide dog to get around, told the Press Association it was the second time he has been illegally barred by staff from entering the same store with his dog. Okay. Sainsbury's has sponsored the British Paralympic team since 2012, but Mr. Dickinson Lilly, who is a double British and European ski champion, questioned the business's commitment to raising disabled rights among staff. Okay, and a lot of these places, as I scroll down, Jeff, do kind of fall flat on that because, a lot of times it's because the staff themselves don't know very much about the law. And, and you're talking about a small minority here as well. But let me read on a little bit more. He said, I had finished work, and because it was a really nice day, the dog and I decided to walk because we'd been indoors all day. That's a good idea. Give the dog a little bit of exercise. We stopped at the Sainsbury's on Southampton Row in Holborn, Central London. I hope I said all that right, Jeff, to get some wine to enjoy the weather. Okay, well, hey, nothing like getting a little bit of wine down and you to enjoy the weather. As soon as I walked in, the security guard said, "No, no." I said, "What?" He said, here we go, guys. He said, "You know what? No dogs allowed." This is why, guys, I have a little bit of a suspicion, and I think Jeff will too, that this might have been, the security guard might have been a Mohammedan. I asked to get the manager, but he refused. Now, that's interesting right there, Jeff and listeners. He refused to get the manager. Eventually, the supervisor wrote my name and details on a slip and mumbled an apology. I complained to Sainsbury's, but have not yet had a reply. Following the incident, Mr. Dickinson Lilly, who works in communications and has 4% of his vision, said, "It left me shaken. I'm senior in my profession. I've done TV work and am very confident. Even having that confidence every time." It happens. It knocks me and left me shaking. I was, okay, here you go, Jeff. I was knackered. I just wanted to get a bottle of wine and do something normal. All businesses are required under the Equality Act to allow guide dogs onto their premises unless there are extreme circumstances. And what we're talking about here, guys, with extreme circumstances, even I know this is real safety issues, not somebody pulled it out of their butt safety issues, real safety issues. Mr. Dickinson Lilly, who retired from skiing competitively last year, said he would now be taking Sainsbury's to court, saying it was the second time he was refused at the same store. And followed a similar incident at the retailer's Cannon Street branch. He called on the company to improve training, adding, "The idea that you can walk into a shop and be humiliated like that in 2019 is outrageous." Now, guys, I'm going to stop reading there, because the clock is running down. Jeff, I just want to tell you, as a blind guy, I've heard of many an incident like this one when it comes to Mohammedans, and especially when it has to do with guide dogs, because as we know, Mohammedans consider dogs to be unclean and they don't want to be around them, and they don't care about the guide dog laws that we've had in our countries in some cases for close to 90 years. We've seen incidents, plenty of them. For instance, over here in the States with Uber drivers who won't let blind folks in with their guide dogs. They claim to have cleared that up, but there are still incidents that happen. The conflict here, Jeff, brother, is between a blind person's right to use their guide dog and the Mohammedans who don't like dogs at all and want to try and get around it. So what are your views?
Well, there was a law that was made many years ago, and it's quite obvious that, most of the shops have got things for disabled people, people who are blind, and you don't see signs up saying, you're allowed in but not your dog, because the dog is a part. Is there to help you. And of course, I think he's got a good case there. The Blind Society, I think it's the Blind Society of the United Kingdom. Basically, I hope he's been in touch with them. He's got a good case, and basically, he should take them to the cleaners or let the society take them to the cleaners. This goes against his human rights. it goes against all the things, the rightful things of blind people got enough problems without having some idiot security guy telling them he's not allowed in the shop with his dog. Now, you know, Sainsbury's, I think you better get your finger out, because you're going to find you're going to lose a hell of a lot of customers if you let your security guards turn them away because they don't like dogs. Okay? Either you change your policies and then put signs up to say that, and then we know that we won't shop with you and stop your online shopping as well. So there you go, Mr. Sainsbury's out there. You better get yourself sorted out. The Blind Society will be all over this, and I guarantee we'll be chasing up on this as well. You know what I mean?
Well, out of order.
If the guy don't like it, go and get a job somewhere else. If you don't like it, jog on, mate. Jog on. There you go, Dave.
Yeah,
and of course, a shout-out to the Blind Society out there of the United Kingdom. I hope you're on this gentleman's case, and maybe all he wants is an apology and just to get someone who's not going to, who knows the laws of the shop and the laws of Sainsbury's. And I'm sure that it says that you're allowed to take your dog in.
So it does say that.
He should be gone, or you are ready to maybe have your pants sued off you. How about that, Mr. Sainsbury's, eh?
I'm hoping that the NFB UK will get involved as well, you know, if they haven't already. You're right. You're right. Now, that's, you know, but yeah, I mean, there it is. You know, it is, I mean, all the guy really wants to do is just to be able to go in and into a shop and buy something without getting a hassle. Okay. That's really what it's about. As you say, Jeff, blindness is enough of a damned inconvenience. Without having to put up with idiots, and you know, I've had to deal with some of this stuff in my time as well, you know, up to and including some pretty nasty stuff, which I won't get into here, but you know, put it this way, there are laws in place and have been, as I said, you know, now I don't know how long it's been in place in the UK. I'm sure it's a similar amount of time, but there are places here in the United States where there have been laws allowing guide dogs to be used in public and things like that since the 1930s.
It's the law, isn't it? I'm sure it's the law, Dave.
Yeah.
It's the law of the land.
Well, it is.
Unless they're changing the laws for if he's a Muslim or whatever he is. I don't know.
I read it, Jeff. It's part of the Equality Act. I read it. So in other words, it's probably been codified in later legislation as well. You know, I mean, and besides, for one thing, you know, and this is something that the Mohammedans never admit, you know, but they should. But guide dogs are the best trained dogs on the planet. There are no dogs trained better. Yeah, I know, you know, we've got some good military listeners, you know, who say, hey, you know, our canine corps dogs are well trained. And they are. They are trained very well. But they're not as well trained as the guide dogs, because the guide dogs actually are trained to be disobedient when they have to. Example I'll give you, Jeff, is you know, if a handler is looking to cross a street and they think that you know, from listening, that they think there are no cars coming, and they give the dog the move forward command, they either won't do it if they see a car coming, or they'll move in front of the handler to keep them from doing it. You know, dog. You know, an animal with a dog's brain to know when to be disobedient, that's good training.
Perception, isn't it?
Something...
It's the dog's instinct,
yeah.
Perception, which is absolutely an awesome thing for an animal. Because he's looking at you, he's watching you, he's making sure you don't get hurt.
It's first-class
awesome,
training,
Dave, you told me they're brilliant, mate.
It's first class training is what it is, and you know, these animals are trained from puppyhood. Now the 4-H here in the United States, you know, I think Vorp is from the States. Vorp, you probably heard of 4-H. You know, 4-H volunteers, a lot of times these are high school kids and people like they'll raise them from puppies, and they begin, you know, giving them obedience training from that point. These are extremely well trained dogs that have thousands of dollars you know, in the States, and again, thousands of pounds in the UK, invested in them as working animals. You know, and for some guy who probably, you know, didn't even graduate high school, who has a security guard job, to just take a nice big crap all over somebody else's rights like that, as you said, Jeff. Yeah, Sainsbury's, you guys need to get it together. You know, this guy may be a Muslim.
You know, when you said to Volpe, he comes from Indiana. Okay, mate, Indiana.
All right. Well, yeah, okay. So there it is.
Let you know also, we've just had Cog, just as you were talking, Dave, we've had Cog joined, and he's given us the thumbs up, buddy. So good to see you,
hey, Cog.
I've seen you for a little while, my friend. Hope you're well.
It is good to see you.
Vorpalbite is giving the face palm. He said, the show's gone to the dogs. Oh,
Don't
fall by what you like. You got that, didn't you, Dave?
Oh, yeah. The whole show has gone to the dogs. It has, yeah. Well, you know how it is.
He was telling me He was telling me a little bit. He said that he made a whole... He was in the Middle East once, and he said, I made a whole village of bloodthirsty Muslims run, and then his next part, bit, he said, "Yeah, I run from the village and they followed me."
There you go. Yeah. I can believe
this guy. I like your feature too, but also he said earlier on, I didn't want to say too much, but he was at military school. He was treated quite bad. He was beaten as a young man, quite badly.
Ah.
So I didn't really want to share too much there, Bob. I hope you don't mind if I didn't share too much. But some of the things he's experienced. But it's a good lad. Thanks for sharing anyway, Bob.
Yeah, well, man. You know.
Yeah, geez, right.
Yeah, you know. I mean, you know, we, you know, no dishonor or feeling bad for you, Vorp, because you know, a lot of us have experienced stuff like that. Like I said, as a blind guy, I experienced a few things that were not very pleasant at all, and I'm not going to talk about them here because we're running out of time. We got 8 minutes left in the show, but you know,
it was no good. I quite liked it in the end. I got used to it. Myself personally, but that's just me.
Well, Jeff, as often as you asked,
when I was at school, buddy, it's a long time ago. But Dave, as I say, where's the show going? I thought Jam was joining us tonight as well. I kept looking at the
Well,
clock.
You know,
she might not have been out of work at the time.
Yeah, but, well, I can tell you this. She really doesn't know when she's going to have to work until a very short amount of time before she has to go in. So that's kind of messed up, and she can't plan a darn thing. So, you know, that's probably what it was. She probably didn't get back in time. So, but Jan, you know, love you. We know she's still out there.
We do. Great work for Jan as usual. But Dave, Volpe's told us he's gone to the dogs, but I think he was doing that tongue in cheek. He says, I don't like the silver sterling reputation those military schools have, so I like to show them in the true light. Well, if he's gone through that bad experience, then why shouldn't he share something? We do know sometimes it can be very brutal in these schools. We know that, Dave.
Truth is not always pleasant, man.
You know, military schools in the UK as well, it's not... You know, we hear these cases. We hear people committing suicide. Haven't we, Dave? We've heard this many occasions.
Training can be pretty rough. I do feel for anybody
that's experienced that. You know, it leaves you traumatised sometimes, doesn't it, Dave? I mean, it affected Volpe. But thank you for sharing, brother. And that's what it's about, sharing. And but anyway, Dave, as I say, we're down to not too long for this
show. 5 minutes, Jeff.
Yeah, but Dave, once again, thank you for the great work you've done for the show this evening. And it was and a bit of education there for some people out there that still getting up to speed. There's a lot to know about this death cult, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot to know about it.
Yeah, there is.
And, you know, it's nice to know who the true enemy. And basically, they are the true enemy. They're our old enemy. It's not like in the last 20, 30 years, they've always been the enemy. They've just been biding their time to do what they're doing. But, Dave, where can people find you during the week? Because you're a busy man with all the different things that you do.
All right, man.
And
well,
you
know, okay.
I'm trying to
pull
eating as well, brother.
I'm going to give you all that now. Okay, guys. I'm UBG Contact on Twitter. Okay, you can find me there. And you can also find me as Dave Milner or Agador on Trump Town or Mumble It. The Tea Party Community, when that's working. Spreely, Minds, MeWe, and I'm always Agador on Gab. So, you know, look me up there. I put in updates and things of that nature. And, of course, this program and previous ones are being played right now at, at the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. That runs through SHR Media, and it's also on the SHR Media YouTube page and on the Western Free Radio Network, the regular show times over there at Spreaker.com are Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern. That's 6 p.m. BST. And on Saturdays at midnight Eastern, and that's 5 a.m. BST. And I just want to say, Jeff, it's been a great show. And, another hello to Vorp and Cog. And I just want to say to the foot soldiers, angels, Brexiteers, and of the English Defense League and all the global patriots and yellow vesters out there, and all, everyone like that, be prosperous, be blessed, and no surrender. Back to you, brother.
There you go. Resist, resist, resist. There you go. Dave, as usual, thank you for your final thoughts. And my goodness, mate, we're getting heard a lot, aren't we, Dave? We're getting heard here, there and everywhere, aren't they, brother? That's what it's all about. All we want to get people getting a frame of mind exactly what's going on around you. That's exactly why we're here two times a week. And Dave is on his other things that he does with Spreaker and all that. So we... getting the message out there. It's time to resist, resist, resist. Isn't it, Dave? But once again, thank you for joining us, especially in the chat room this evening with Cog and Vorpalbyte. Thanks for sharing some of the things you've been telling us. Always appreciated. And, of course, to our wider listening audience out there. We know you listen to us wide and far. We have seen you on our stat map for where you were... My goodness, mate, we do get... This is the great thing about internet radio, that we do get heard far and wide. And that's the great thing about it. And, Dave, we're down. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes. But, once again, don't forget, guys. She's just told me. But I was going to say, don't forget the English Defence League. Check the website out. We've also got our donate page here. Please... If you can, whatever you can afford, we're not asking for a lot, but, it just helps with what we do. So God bless you all. You take care, you stay safe, and please be vigilant out there. No surrender ever, and I've got to go. Underground, see you this Sunday. See you Sunday, guys.
Good night, Jeff. Good night, Ken.
Good night,
guys. People might say that I'm just like a robot. I'm so happy I can't see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your five brigade. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money and content of mine. My nuclear test was for atomic rights. And the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing. Going underground. Where's the prospect for you? That's the path going underground.
need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging between a fact. To be here, so what you get? You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and don't waste your trust. As the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
Gone underground now with the purge, but we are all right. We're still fighting back. You know, we'll fight back and we will prevail. They will fall, we will prevail. But yeah, as I say, we've gone into the archive section of the show, but once again, I've got to thank Dave for the great slides this evening. And also towards the script, thank you once again, Dave, for all the great works that you do. It's really appreciated. And I hope you've all enjoyed the show this evening, guys. It's been my pleasure and Dave, sir, to bring these shows to you. You know, it's so, so important that, you know, you listen to what we're saying and maybe do your own investigating. So there you go. Once again, I've got to thank you all. So with that... let me see now, what do I do? Oh, yes, right. I've got to say, once again, we've just about to close the show down. So from myself, from Dave, from Jan, from the team, from everybody associated with the English Defence League radio show, the EDL, the .org, please check out yourselves. There's plenty of information there. Great, you know, just check the website. You just love it. Anyway, this is the English Defence League radio show signing off for this evening, and we'll see you again this Sunday. And guess what, guys? It's my birthday Saturday. Yay! Good night, everybody. God bless you all. Take care. Stay safe. And please, please be vigilant. No surrender ever.